I want you to turn with me, first of all, we're going to look in Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is speaking to them in the third chapter, and he's bringing a discourse on the difference in the letter of the law and the moving of the Spirit. He talks about faith versus the works of the flesh and works of the law. And he's trying to get us over into grace. He's trying to get us over where our faith is in what Jesus did and not trying to convince God through our own works that we're good enough to get it ourselves. Amen? Because if you're trying to get God to bless you on your own good works, then you're going to be in trouble because your good works will never get you there. Amen? So Paul is trying to get them over to the place where they'll understand that in Christ they've been redeemed, in Christ they've received the blessing, in Christ everything that God has is theirs, and Abraham got a revelation of that, and he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then he goes on, he says, and they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In other words, if you can get over and get into faith like Abraham did, you can get in on the same blessing that Abraham got. Amen? And then he says here in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. So in other words, he said it's just a revelation, it's a reality, it's evident that you cannot be made righteous, you cannot be justified, you cannot find a place in God's eyes where he can bless you through the law. So he says this, the just shall live by faith. Notice he didn't say the just shall fail by faith. Didn't say the just will barely make it by faith. Didn't say the just will struggle all their life by faith. No, it says the just shall live by faith. Amen. Now, you know, I got to looking at that, and if the just, those who are justified by the Spirit of God, those who are justified in the eyes of God, those that have been made righteous with God, and those who are walking in the blessing of God, he says the just shall live by faith. You know, if you're going to live, if something's alive, there's movement in it. Amen. Anything that's living has movement. If there's no movement, it's dead. Isn't that right? So you could say it like this. There's going to be movement in your life by faith. Things are going to begin to move. Things are going to begin to happen in your life when you get over into faith. If there's no movement in your life, you're not really in faith. Because the just live by faith. And where there's life, there's movement. Amen. So therefore, he's saying there should be some movement. There should be some processes going on in your life. There ought to be things happening in your life. We ought to be able to see things happening in your life if you're living by faith. Amen. If you're alive in faith, your faith should be causing things to happen in your life that can be seen. Because where there is life, there's movement. I don't know if you've checked it or not. We've got a couple of different trees in our yard, and we planted a willow tree. And the reason we planted the willow tree is my grandmother had one in her yard when I was growing up, and I wanted one in my yard. And we planted it, and it's just God has blessed it, and it grew, and it's gotten big, and it just going after it. And it's already turning green. You know, they got those long limbs on them, you know, just weeping willow, whatever. When I was a kid, it was a whipping willow. Amen. But we won't get into that. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? There's life in it, and there's movement already. We're seeing movement in that tree. I looked at a dogwood, and I saw the little buds all over it. There's movement. They're living by faith. If it's a living faith, there's movement in it. There's something happening in it. Amen? If you and I are going to walk in faith and live in faith, there ought to be something moving in our lives, is what I'm trying to get across. There ought to be something happening in our lives. We ought not be stagnant. We ought not to be just motionless or lifeless. There ought to be something happening every day in our lives. We should be moving toward what God has for us. Amen? Now look over in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, here Paul writing to the church says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. So faith is a walk. Now, if you begin to study that out and think about it for a moment, for we walk by faith and not by what we see. We walk by faith and we don't necessarily see it. Now, if you tie this in and read it in context to what he's saying here, the verses before and the verses after, he's talking about that if we lay down this body that we're living in now, we'll go be with the Lord. And this temporal body that we have, this tabernacle, he says, and one translation says tent. In other words, this mortal body, when it dies, will be absent from this body, but we'll be present with the Lord. And the Lord has one that's been made by his hands in heavens for us. Amen. And we have a glorified body. And so he says, even though you can't see that now, even though that you have to take it on the word, he says, we walk by faith. We can't see that glorified body. We can't see the Lord there in the Father's house making a room for us, but we walk by faith, even though we can't see it. We live out our life heading toward that goal. Amen. And so your walk of faith is from the time I accept Jesus as my Lord, I progressively make myself towards him. I work myself toward him and being in his presence. Amen. Now, if we take that same concept of faith and we say, okay, if I don't see the Lord, but I believe he's creating a body for me, I don't see heaven, but I believe the Lord is there making a place for me, I can't see the throne of God, but I believe Jesus is seated to the right hand of it for me, and even though I can't hear him, the Bible says he's interceding for me, so therefore, when I give my heart to Christ, I'm going to begin the process of going from where I start right now until I actually get to heaven to be with him. Amen? And it's a walk. You don't get there overnight. You just have to walk it out. So your life becomes a process of steps getting you from your new birth over into the place where God has created for you. Isn't that right? Now, if you take that same thought and bring it into a life of faith, that means this. If we're walking by faith, we have to take steps to get from where we're at to the place we desire to be. Isn't that right? So faith is a process of steps getting you from where you are to where you desire to be. Or faith is a process of steps getting you from what you have over to what you're believing God to give you. Isn't that right? In other words, if I'm sick, I have to follow the steps of faith to get over to healing. Isn't that right? It's a walk, and walking is taking steps. And if you're walking and taking steps, I look at this as, and we walk by faith and not by sight. In your house, you probably know where things are. And at nighttime, if you have to get up and get a drink of water or go to the bathroom, you probably don't flip on the lights. Isn't that right? Isn't it norm? And you know what you do? You go through your little path because you're walking the steps that you know are there. You can't really see. It's a little dark. Maybe you can see it just in a shadowy figure, depending on the moon or whatever. But you know what you do? You go in and you get your drink. You know where the sink is. You know where your cup is. And you turn on, get your drink, put it back down. And then you turn around and you go back in. You get back in bed and you never turn the lights on. Why? Because you had faith that you could get to where you needed to get and come back. But you didn't just sit there and lay in bed and go, man, I'm believing for a drink of water. I claim a drink of water. Thank you, Lord, for my drink of water. You know what? You can lay there in bed and do that all night long and never get a drink of water. Why? Because if you don't get up and walk toward the sink, and if you don't go ahead and know where the cup is and then turn it on, there are steps to get the drink of water. Isn't that right? It's a walk of faith. You didn't turn the lights on because you knew where the sink was. You knew the water was there. You knew it was working. So you're going. Isn't that right? Are you hearing me? Well, you know what? We don't have to see the things that God has promised us, but we have to believe those things and use our faith to go from where we're at to where those things are. Are you hearing me? We have to learn the steps of faith to get us to the prosperity. We have to learn the steps of faith to get us to peace. We have to learn the steps of faith to get us to our healing. We have to learn the steps of faith to get us to the desired result that God has promised us. Amen? And I want to give you three just real simple, quick steps of faith that will help you if you're going to walk by faith. If you're going to begin to trust God, if you're going to release the motion of God's life in you, if you're going to begin to release the blessings of God in you, these are three simple steps that will help you to walk by faith. Are you hearing me? Praise God. The first step is in Romans 10:17. There the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your first step of faith must begin with the word of God. Did you hear me? There can be no faith without the Word of God. Before you can ever claim anything, before you ever pray, before you ever make a confession, before you ever do anything, your first step of faith is to know what God's Word says. You must have a promise from God. There can be no faith without God's Word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, okay? So therefore, when I start off my walk of faith, it's the Word of God that gives me the direction that I'm going to go and tells me what I can have. Are you hearing me? If it, just like I gave you the illustration of going to get you the drink of water, you know where the sink is. You know where the cup is. You know where the switch is, to turn it on. But you have to work your way. But the reason you go that direction is because you know that's where it's at. You don't get up, go out the back door and go out in the woods and shake a tree to get a drink of water at nighttime. If you do, we're going to come pray for you. Maybe send some officials over your house because you may be in need of help. Amen. But you have to have the Word of God. Listen to me, folks. I cannot begin to walk toward healing until I have God's promise of healing. Faith always starts off with the Word of God, and it starts off with the written Word of God. You have to know what God's Word says, or there will be no faith. Faith is always a product of the Word of God. So if you're in a need, the very first thing you have to do is find you a promise. Now, notice I use the word find you a promise. Look in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, real quickly. Proverbs chapter 4, and beginning in verse 20, I want you to see something here. See, he says faith comes from the Word of God. The Word always brings with it faith. So in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, he says this, "My son, attend to my word." Give attention to the Word. "Incline thine ear to my sayings." In other words, he says, attend. Give attention to the Word of God and begin to hear what the Word says. "Let them not depart from thine eyes." In other words, get in the Bible and read what it says. "Keep them in the midst of your heart," and that's important, we'll get back to it later. Listen to what he says in verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them." Everybody say, find them. You have to find what God says, or you'll never have faith. Somebody says, is it lost? No, it's not lost, but at the same time, you have to seek it out. You have to search it out. You can't just say, well, God, if it's your will, I'm going to believe you for this. Or God, if you want to heal me, I'm going to believe you to heal me. Or God, if you want me to have that, or if you want to give me this, or if you want to open that door, then I'm going to trust. There's no basis for faith on that. You haven't taken the time yet to find what God says. And he says, the only word that is life and health to you is the word that you actually find yourself. Now, another word that we could use for find is discover. Isn't that right? So we could say it like this. He says, for they are life unto those that discover them. Now, if you find something, that means that you have it in your possession. Isn't that right? So it's now no longer a mystery, it's a revelation. So you could say it like this, for they are life unto those that get the revelation of them, who possess them, who actually have them. You know what you have to do, folks? You have to get in the Word of God, and you have to find you a promise in the Bible, and you have to embrace that promise and discover that promise and claim it for yourself. You cannot live on the revelation that I find. You have to live on the revelation that you find. Are you hearing me? You didn't get saved because I know that Jesus is Lord. You got saved when you discovered that Jesus was Lord. Are you hearing me? You did not begin to believe that your prayers could be answered because I discovered that God hears us when we pray according to His will. But if you got in the Word of God and started reading in 1 John chapter 5 and got down around verse 14, it says, and if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And then the next verse says, and if we know that He hears us, we know that we receive the petitions or the requests that we have desired of Him. And all of a sudden you go, whoa! You mean that if I pray according to what God said, and if I pray it in faith, God will hear me and I can get my prayer answered? And all of a sudden you found something and you discovered something. Amen. It jumped out and became a reality to you. It was no longer lost. Then you read Mark 11:24. Brother Hagin says that Mark 11:23 and 24 were always his two favorite scriptures, because he said those two verses brought him off the bed of sickness and disease, took him off of the deathbed, got him healed, got him delivered. He said he read Mark 11:23 and 24 one time and never tried to memorize them, never tried to. He said they were just branded into his heart and mind forever. And he said, you know, he went along finding out that you'd have what you say and you could believe. And he said, whatsoever things you desire, verse 24. That's over his gravesite now. Mark 11:24, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. That was his verse. And he said, how, and let me tell you the difference in finding something and reading something. He had read Mark 11:24. It had been a reality to him, and he was believing, he was praying. And he said one day he was praying and praying, and he said he'd been getting better. At one time he was paralyzed from almost his neck down. He couldn't hardly see, but he got some movement in his hands, got movement in his upper body, but he was still paralyzed from the waist down. And he still had some problems with his heart and whatever. And he said, you know, he'd gotten better, but he was still, you know, bedridden, still in that position where he couldn't get out, couldn't take care of himself. And so he said, I'm praying one day, and he said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, read that again. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And he said, yeah, that's what I'm praying. He said, no. He said, when do you have them? Read it again. And he said, let me read that. And he said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said, I got to believe I have them before I have them, then I'll receive them. And the Lord said, that's right. You've been trying to get it, then believe you got it, but you got to believe you got it, then you'll get it. See, he found it. He discovered what was in that verse. Are you hearing me, folks? The Holy Spirit has been sent to reveal to us the truths and the secrets that are in the Word of God. And the reason our faith isn't working is because we haven't taken time to find the revelation of that verse. And so he said, oh, I get it. He said, I see it. I've got to believe that my paralyzation is gone, that my body is healed, that my heart is healed, my blood is healed. I got to believe that I receive that and I have it before I can feel it. And the Lord said, now your faith will work. And so he said, okay, I believe that I receive healing from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. And he said, the Lord spoke to him again and said, well, he said, it was like 8 o'clock somewhere in that early morning, or 10, around mid-morning. And he said, you know, anybody your age at this time of the morning should be up. And he said, that's right. And he said he was still totally paralyzed from the waist down. He said, I swung my legs over off the bed, grabbed a hold of the post, and raised myself up. He said the room started spinning because I'd been laying there flat on my back for all those months. He said, finally, the room stopped spinning. I got a hold of myself. And he said, now, Lord, I believe I'm healed, so therefore I'm going to stand. And he said he slung his legs over, and he said, I only way I knew that my feet had hit the floor is I heard them thump when they hit the floor. And he said, I held on. He said, I was slumping down. He said, I'm holding on to the post. And he said this. He said, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, before Almighty God and before the holy angels of heaven that are here in this room and before the devil himself and all of his demon imps, I want to declare that Jesus is my Lord and I'm healed by his stripes. And he said, whenever he declared that, he said, some felt like warm honey came down on his top of his head and rolled just like oil going down his body. He said, when it got down into his lower parts of his body, felt like, you know, pins pricking him. He said it hurt, but it was a good hurt, because when you hadn't felt anything for almost a year and a half, he said, you know, it feels good to hurt, praise God. And he said all the feeling came back into his legs. Next thing he said, I'm standing there in the middle of my room, my hands lifted up, praising the Lord, and God had healed me. But you see, he had to find that, because faith comes to you when you discover it. It becomes life and health to you when you let God discover it to you. Are you hearing me? And we're trying to get to step two before we have successfully done step one. The Bible says in Romans 4:18 that Abraham, he had hope against hope because he was what? He was going on what God had promised him. God had said, so shall your seed be. And so Abraham stepped up and on the promise of God, stepped out in faith. He got a revelation that he was going to be a father of many nations. He found that verse. He discovered what God had for him. Folks, I want to tell you something. The moment you discover God's will, you're on your path towards your victory. You have to have a map before you know where you're going. Are you hearing me? It's silly to get in your car and go 1,000 miles across the country and not have some kind of a map before you go to know the route you're supposed to take. Now, maybe you can do that, but I don't. I normally get me a MapQuest, AAA or something, and I find the routes. I want to know what to go. I want to know the best things, and I follow that. Why? I don't leave until I've got me a route marked. Because I want to have some direction to this thing. Because I don't want to spend my whole time trying to find someplace. I want to know how to get there. Amen? Listen to me. You will never get your prayers answered. You will never get your faith working. You will never get to what you're wanting by just hoping without some kind of direction. And the Bible says you need to give attention to the Word. You need to hear the Word. You need to put the Word in your eyes. And you need to find what God says. Discover the revelation of that Word and get it in your heart. Because once you discover it, it begins to be life and health to you. It begins to work for you. Amen? So all faith begins with the revelation of God's Word. Now, number two is found in Mark 11:23. Let's go over here and look real quickly. Mark chapter 11, let's begin actually in verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, why is the Lord Jesus telling them that? Well, because if you'd go back a few verses around verse 12, the Bible says that they were coming into, you know, from Bethany going down into the city, and Jesus saw a fig tree. And he went to that fig tree and he cursed, said, no man will eat fruit from you hereafter. Spoke to it. And listen to what it says in verse 14. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it and they come to Jerusalem. You know what Jesus did? He spoke his faith and then took a step. He walked away from it. He began to step out in faith and walk away. He spoke his faith. Let me tell you something, folks. The next step here is this. When you get a revelation of God's Word, the next thing you got to do is you got to get that down in your heart and believe it will work for you. You got to believe it'll work for you. Look in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Notice this, that the Lord Jesus says right here, you got to believe it in your heart. Once you find it, you got to believe it. You got to believe it so strongly that it drives doubt out of your heart. Somebody says, what are you talking about? I sat in a church service when I was a young man, and I heard the preacher preach, and I couldn't tell you the message he preached other than it was a salvation message. And I was convinced of from my upbringing and from what he preached that I needed to give my heart and life to Jesus. And I became so convinced and believed that so much that it drove all fear, it drove all concern about what people would think or whatever. It drove it out of my heart. And I got up and acted upon it. And the reason I acted upon that and gave my heart to Jesus is because I believed what I heard, and what I believed outweighed the fear or the concern that it wouldn't work. Are you hearing me? Later on in life, I fell away from God, got disillusioned by some things, got disillusioned by the church, disillusioned by some Christians, some preachers, and some things. And maybe this isn't right. And I got away from God for a while. And then I went to church again with a group. And so there I'm sitting, and the pastor is preaching again. And he's preaching, and this time I remember him sharing, the scriptures there in the gospel where Jesus said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. And I sat there, and that struck my heart. All of a sudden, the revelation that God, Jesus, will not speak my name to the Father if I'm ashamed of him? And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to step out and go up and give your life back to me. And I had all my football team was there. That's when I was in college, and it was team day. And I said, I'm not going up there in front of these guys. And the Lord spoke to me and said, then you're ashamed of me. I said, no, I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. He said, then you go up there and tell everybody you're making me your Lord. I said, I don't want to do that. He said, then you're ashamed of me. I said, no, I'm not ashamed of you. He said, yeah, you're ashamed of me, and from this day forth, I'll not ever confess your name in heaven. You make up your mind. And you know what? I believed him. And I believed what the preacher said. And it wasn't a scare tactic. It was a reality. You understand? I found the truth that day. It became real to me. And that truth became more real to me than my concern about what my teammates or my coaches would say about me. See, folks, this is the thing. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. If you're in sickness, you have to find that. You have to find it yourself. You have to discover it. You have to know what it means. And then it has become so real to you that it's stronger, that Jesus is the healer, becomes stronger to you than sickness and disease is the killer. Are you hearing me? Because this is the thing. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater revelation will always override the lesser. But now listen to me. If you have a greater revelation of your problem than you have of God's answer, then that problem will override God's answer and keep you in bondage. Come on. And so what I have to do is I have to hear the word, give attention to the word, spend time with the word until I believe that word more than I believe my problem. And you have to have, and there's a choice, folks. Listen, you ever tried to overcome something that gets a hold of you? It's a struggle, isn't it? Paul even wrote in Galatians chapter 5, and he said what over there? He said, listen, you're going to have a struggle in life. He said, your flesh is going to fight you and try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And your spirit is going to want to serve God. Your spirit is going to want to just live for God and walk in faith and praise the Lord and be holy. And your spirit is going to battle your flesh, and your flesh is going to battle your spirit. And if you don't watch out, your flesh will keep you from doing what you really want to do, which is to serve God. Because every person, whether you're watching or you're listening right here, this is the thing. Every born-again Christian really, in their spirit, wants to serve God. You have placed in you, when you're born again, the desire to worship the Lord. You have within you the desire to live holy. You have within you the desire to be righteous. You have within you the desire to walk in the presence of the Lord. You have within you the desire to glorify God in your life. It's put in you. How do you know? Because when you are born again, God takes the old heart out and puts a new heart in and pours His Spirit into your heart. You have the Holy Ghost in you. Amen? When you're born again and the Holy Ghost pours God's love in you. It's poured in your heart. You have the desire to love God and love people. You have the desire to do what's right. Are you hearing me? But you still have, unfortunately, the same old flesh, because your body didn't get saved. Did anybody get the revelation about 30 seconds into your salvation walk with God that your flesh did not get saved, even when you tried to drown it in the baptism? You buried it, washed it, and then the next day somebody did something to you and you found out that you still had a temper. And you still found out you had to deal with anger. And you still found out that, you know, there were some things your flesh still wanted to do. And you're going, oh my God, I cannot believe this. Well, you better believe it, because Paul warned you. But he says, here's the good news. He says, you get the revelation that God has already helped you to crucify your flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit, he says in Galatians 5. What's he saying? He's saying you can overcome those things, but you have to begin to believe the things of God more than you believe the things that your flesh is wanting to do and the world's wanting you to do. Are you hearing me? Jesus said you have to believe it in your heart and not doubt it. What's that mean? That, listen, when the Spirit of God gets to moving in a church service, the anointing's flowing, you know what, down on the inside, your head may be gone because of your religious teaching or because of your lack of teaching or whatever. Your head will be going, oh my God, these people are crazy. And your flesh may be going, I need to go, wonder where the door is, how to get out of here, I don't want this. But there's something down on inside. If you get quiet just for a second and stop worrying about what all's going on around you and stop, your spirit man's leaping on the inside. There's just something that's attracting you to that. Just something that down inside. And you know what? If you ever get to the place where you find what true worship is and find scriptures on praise and find on being a priest unto God, find that you've been anointed of God to lift up spiritual sacrifices of praise. If you find the revelation of what it means to praise God and get that in your heart and begin to believe, what happens is you believe that more than you are concerned about what people think or how you feel. And the next thing you know, you have your hands lifted up with the rest of them. Praise God. But we walk by faith. We live by faith. Meaning what? Even in getting free, it's a process of steps. You get the revelation of it. You begin to believe it. And you begin to build it into your life. And you know, even with praising the Lord, it may go to this. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you ever done it? Yeah, I bet people do this. They come to church and they look around and they go, praise the Lord. And then, I would never do that. But then they get in their car and go, yes, have my hands up today. Hallelujah. And then the next thing you know, whoo, hallelujah. Now, you know, and it's funny. I've had people say, I'm going to tell you one thing. You'll never catch me running around that sanctuary. We will if you come here long enough. Now, if you're real fast, we may not catch you, but you know. But there'll come a day if you get in there and find out what's really going on, instead of just letting your carnal mind and worldly teaching and your past and religion determine what you're going to do, get in the scripture for yourself and find what God says about it. Discover it. Believe it. First thing you know, you'll be free with it. See, faith is a process of getting to where God wants you to be. God has laid all this out for you, folks, and He's put it all in the scriptures. But that's why He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. What's He talking about? He's talking about revelation knowledge. He's talking about you wanting more of God. He's talking about you wanting to develop your faith. Amen? Listen, look in Romans, the fourth chapter, real quickly. Romans chapter 4, we talked about Abraham. Let's just look at Abraham just for a moment. Romans 4:17. Says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, notice how Abraham believed God. Verse 17 says that he believed God. Amen. He starts off, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. So Abraham got a hold of believing God. Now, how did he believe God? According to that which was spoken. And then here's what Abraham did so that he could believe God more than he could believe his problem. Abraham refused to consider his body or his wife's body. He refused to be occupied with the problem. He refused to be focused on the struggle. He refused to listen to what everybody else had to say. He refused to even look at his own symptoms and give them priority in his life. Abraham kept his focus on God and his promise and God's ability to make his promise work for him. Listen to me, folks. If you're going to walk by faith and if you're going to get from your point of need to your point of blessing, you are going to have to make up your mind that you're not going to be distracted. Now, it does not say that Abraham didn't have the revelation or the reality that he was an old man. He says he didn't consider his body 100 years old. Meaning what? He knew he was 100. He knew his wife was back in, 90. He knew that they had, he knew the obstacles that were there. See, we're not talking about denying the fact that these are things. We aren't into Christian Science where we're denying symptoms or denying sickness or denying need or denying problem. Listen, folks, what we're talking about is Christian sense. We're talking about taking the Word of God and just saying, okay, here's where I'm at. But God says I can be over here. Now, for me to get from where I'm at to where God wants me to be, here are the steps that I'm going to have to take in faith to get there. One, I'm going to have to discover what God says about it. Because whatever God says about it is what I can have. Because God is the final say-so. He is the one who watches over His Word. And His Word that He sends will not return to Him void. It will produce what He sent it to do. And this is my inheritance. So therefore, I discover what the Word says. Now, I am going to be faced with these obstacles. I'm going to be faced. Maybe I've got something in my body and it's there. It's hurting. I'm going to be faced with that. Maybe I've got people around me saying it's not going to work. Maybe I'm getting bad reports. Maybe they're saying I'm too old. Maybe they're saying it's not going to work today. Maybe they're saying that it's not the miracle age. Maybe they're saying those things are going to. I'm going to have all kinds of junk that's going to try to get my attention. But just like Abraham, instead of focusing on all of that, instead of thinking about all of that, instead of talking about all of that, I'm going to focus on God and what God says and God's ability to give it to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to walk my way toward what God says and walk my way out of what I have. It's the walk of faith. Are you hearing me? And here's how I'm going to do it. I am going to believe. And I'm going, and when I stop being fully persuaded, I start being half persuaded. See, whatever has got the greater percentage is what's going to control me. If I'm half word and half doubt, I'm back to standstill. So I got to be more fully persuaded than I am fearful. I got to believe God will do this. And now, if I stop, if I quit being fully persuaded, what do I need to do? Attend to the Word. Go back to the same Scripture. You don't have to find another verse. Just go back to the same verse God gave you and attend to it, pray it, speak it, meditate on it, talk it out, and let it begin to be missing. This is the thing. He says there that the Word that you find is life and health to all their flesh. One translation says is life and medicine to all their flesh. You know what? We've got doctors in our church and different ones that work in the medical profession, and they'll tell you right now, you take your medicine till all the symptoms are gone. You don't take medicine till you feel better. I've gone to Dr. Harris before and said, I've got this little symptoms here and I've been praying. Do you have anything? And he'd check it and says, yeah, here, take these five pills for the next 5 days and it'll help you. It'll help you get rid of that. Well, you know what? In 2 days, you may be feeling better. Well, you don't take the 3 extra days and lay them up the shelf. What do? You stay with it until you finish it. There's a reason they gave you 5 days and five pills. Are you hearing me? There's a reason God says, believe you receive. There's a reason God says that you stay strong in faith by giving glory to God. There's a reason God says, give attention to the Word. There's a reason God says, don't let it depart from before your eyes. There's a reason God says, keep hearing it. There's a reason God says, keep praising Him for it. There's a reason God says, don't go back and look at your problem. Listen, folks, if you get delivered from something, let me tell you something. If you get delivered from bars, don't go back to the bar and see if you're still delivered. You would not believe the people that have come through these doors that have been delivered from drugs, be free from drugs for months, and then go back to the drug house that they used to get their drugs from because they wanted to go see if they were delivered or go back and I don't know what they were doing, just checking it out. And then they're back in drugs the next week. Peter says it's like the pig that wallowed in the mud and you cleaned him and he runs right back out and gets back in the wallow again. You go hang out in mud, you're going to get muddy. Man, when I came back to the Lord, I didn't go to the frat parties. I didn't go to the beer joints or the booze places. I didn't go hang out with the guys that drank. I didn't go hang out with the guys that were doing all that junk. I didn't do it. When they asked me, I said, I'm not going to do it. Had a guy one time come up and say, oh, we're going to have a party over at this house. Well, you know, you what? I said, I'm not going. He said, why not? I said, well, I'm not drinking. I was, you know, baby Christian. Wasn't real bold. I wasn't afraid of it or ashamed of it. I just didn't want to get into big thing. And he said, and so he grabs my mouth and said, well, it looks like your throat's still open. You can still swallow it. I said, well, let me make it plain to you. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I don't need your beer. I don't need your party. I don't need all that junk. I am filled up in here, and I'm not going to come over there because I don't want to be around it anymore. Now, if you want to get saved, we'll stand here and keep talking. He was running down the sidewalk, getting away from me. And you know what? I got more fully persuaded that I want to live for God than I want to live for the world. And I started walking my way out of that thing, praise God. And I didn't go back to see if I was still delivered. Come on. First time I believed God for a healing, I got up on a Saturday morning, had gotten a hold of Brother Hagin's book on Keys to Scriptural Healing, How to Turn Your Faith Loose. Was working in a place, window factory down in Rocky Mount, Virginia, between the spring when I left East Tennessee State and the fall when I was going to Rhema. We'd gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was down, I guess, in July, and got up and had a scratchy throat. And so I got up that morning, and, you know, in the past, I thought, man, I feel sick. I don't feel good. I'm feeling a little achy. My throat's scratchy. Can't hardly talk. I just stayed home. But you know what? I got up that morning, and I'd been studying on healing, so I got up and claimed my healing. Got my Bible before I went to work on that morning and spent some time going through the Scriptures. And I had to find it because I didn't know the words like I did now. But I found 1 Peter 2:24. I said, Lord, by your stripes I was healed. I'm going to claim my healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you that I'm healed. I'm going to work, and I'm going to act like I'm healed. I went to work that morning, and in fact, on the way, I said, you know what? I'm not going to reward you, buddy. I'm not going to feed you anything until you get healed. And then, of course, you hear all these old tales, you know, starve a cold, feed a fever. And so, you know, all this stuff's hitting me on the way. If you got to eat, you'll lose energy, you'll get sick, you'll pass. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I cast all those things down. By his stripes I was healed, and I'm not going to reward my body for being sick. You get healed, we'll eat something. So I get there, and we're working, and you know, about an hour into it, I'm over there working, and I'm just praising the Lord and praying in tongues under my breath, and I'm thanking God for my healing. And the thought comes to my mind, there's a men's room, you know, restroom, just right down, just 10 feet down the hall. Why don't you go down there and look and see if your throat looks any better? And you know what? I almost fell for it. I got about one step, and I thought, no, devil, I don't have to go look. My faith isn't in whether my throat looks better. It looks worse. My faith is in the fact that by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And now I'm not going to go look. I don't have to go look because the Word says it. I believe it, and that settles it. And so he says, all right. So break time rolls around. You know, the devil try you one way, try you another way. Are you listening to me? Abraham had to deal with these same things. With his body, and with his wife, and with this, and with that. See, folks, whatever you're going through, you're going to have some battles to fight. That's why you have to walk through it and stay focused on what God said. So break time rolls around, and here comes the donut truck. And the guy pulls up, and he says, listen, we had this big order that got canceled, and we are overloaded with donuts. We're going to sell them a dozen for a dollar if you'll buy them. We're just trying to unload them. Everybody in my shop bought 3 dozen of donuts. They had milk cartons stacked up to the room, and I'm standing there and slobbering, you know, and I'm going, oh, God. I said, I ain't going to eat anything, until, and I still feel scared. And the devil says, one donut won't hurt. I said, oh, God, it wouldn't hurt, but it won't help either. And so I'm saying, and you know, every person in the shop offered me donuts that morning. Normally, they'd eat everything themselves. But this day, they're the most generous people in the world. I was offered at least 5 cartons of milk and at least 20 donuts that morning. I mean, everywhere I turned, they were sticking a donut, jelly-filled donuts, cream-filled donuts. I mean, every kind of donut. And here they are. And I'm going, in Jesus' name, I said, I ain't eating nothing until I'm healed. Buddy, if you get healed, we'll eat one real quick. But you know what? I stuck with my guns because, see, you got to believe in what you're doing enough to have a conviction for it. Are you listening to me? There's no conviction. There's no really belief. And Abraham had to battle through sometimes. He had to battle through some symptoms. He had to battle through some doubts. And folks, I'm going to tell you, for you to get to your place of blessing, you have to battle through some things. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to stick to my guns. I went home that afternoon. It was a Saturday. We were working half days then because it was a busy time on Saturday. And I went home and I got my Bible out and I spent time in the Word. I laid down and said, Lord, I'm going to lay down. When I wake up, I'll be healed. I took about a half hour nap, woke up, every symptom was gone. That evening, we had five couples over to the house from our Baptist church. I talked to them about the Holy Ghost and got all of them filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues that evening. And I want to tell you what, getting those 10 people filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, having a move of God, was a whole lot more important to me than having a donut and ruining my faith over there on the job that day. I got healed and got 10 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you hearing me? Faith works, but you got to live it. If you're living faith, there ought to be motion. And if you're going to walk it, you have to have enough conviction to take the next step. You got to believe it in your heart. And the third thing, the third step is this. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, that you'll have what you say. 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 You know what you got to do? You're going to have to make sure that you get your words lined up with God. You have to speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. When you don't feel like it, speak the word. Whenever the enemy comes in and tells you you ain't going to make it, speak the word. When you don't feel better, speak the word. When it doesn't look like it's working, speak the word. Hebrews 4:14 says you got to hold fast your confession. You got to keep saying what Jesus says. You got to speak it out. Listen, if you'll study out Romans 4 and study the faith of Abraham, which is what Paul is alluding to in Galatians 3, Abraham conformed his attitude, his actions, and his words to God's will. Did you hear me? He brought himself into conformity with his attitude. He was giving praise to God. He was believing it was going to happen. With his actions, he was walking toward the end result of what God said. And with his words, he was constantly giving God praise and thanking him for making him a father of many nations. He wasn't bemoaning God with his words. He was praising God with his confession. And folks, there's a difference in making your confession and saying what God says with enthusiasm and saying it with a whine in your voice. Well, I believe I'm healed. I don't feel better, but I believe I'm healed. No, you don't. You got to go back to step two. In fact, you may have to go back to step one. Because you may have not discovered yet what you need. You may have not found it yet. And how many of you are getting the revelation? Just because you've heard it doesn't mean you found it. Tell you when you find it is when it becomes real to you. When it jumps off the page, you say, wait a minute, I can have that. That's for me. Are you hearing me? I've had people get healed. I'm going to tell you what. I've had friends of mine years ago. I remember a friend of mine. He got a hold of a scripture, was believing God for a breakthrough, and he showed me the scripture he was standing on, and it had nothing to do with what he's believing for. And I started saying, you can't get that on that. And God said, shut up. He said, he found that. He's believing me with that. He says, I can get him his miracle if he discovered it in an Old Testament verse, and it jumped off the page, and he realized that it was going to get him a victory. He said, I can get you a miracle with one word out of one verse out of the Old Testament, if you'll find it. And you know what? To my amazement, with a verse that I didn't think he could get anything with, he got his breakthrough. He was so excited. This guy, I mean, he was shouting. He was running around. I mean, believing. I mean, every time I'd see him, he'd go, I got it. Oh, I'm believing God. And it took him a little while. But you know, he got his breakthrough on that verse. Because he found the verse that God had spoke to him. Now, which brings me another thing. The verse I find and the verse you find may be two different verses, but it'll get the same result. Because the Holy Ghost helped me find mine. Holy Ghost helped you find yours. And it's what you're going to stand on. Not what I think you should stand on, but what you and God are standing on together with. That's how you get your faith working. Amen? Are you hearing me? So what are those steps? I'm going to find the promise of God that gives me a right to have what I'm believing for. Everything starts with the Word of God. I'm going to find a verse, find a scripture that promises me what I'm needing from God. I'm going to get that in my heart and believe it with a conviction so much that I'm willing to act upon it and focus on it and give myself to it and be willing to defend it to people. Are you hearing me? Well, you ain't going to work. Yes, it will. Don't you speak down to my verse. That's my verse that's going to get me my miracle. Now, don't you talk about it. This is what I'm believing God for. Then what you have to do, you have to get a hold of the word and speak it out of your mouth. You got to begin to declare it. You got to say it. You got to speak it. Why? Because it's not just finding it and believing it that'll get you the victory. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, you'll have whatever you say. You got to say it. And you know what? You don't just say it in church. You say it when you go home. You say it in the morning when you get up. You say it when the enemy's telling you it ain't working. Are you hearing me? Folks, I want to tell you something. We have to believe the word so much that we're not ashamed to tell people what we believe. Come on. Why should we let false religions be so bold that they'll tell you what they believe and don't even know what they believe? And we believe God for a miracle, and we're afraid people think we're silly or fanatic or whatever. You know what? You can call me a fanatic all day long as long as I'm getting my miracles. Isn't it amazing? They call Jesus a fanatic. In fact, one of the reasons the Pharisees and the scribes and all the religious leaders want to get rid of him, if you'll read the Bible, they said, this guy is so fanatical, everybody's following him, and we're going to lose our place. We've got to get rid of him because he's a fanatic. But they couldn't get rid of him. And they still can't get rid of him. And guess what? Jesus is still a fanatic. He is a fanatic, folks. Listen, Jesus is a fanatic. He'll change your life. He'll wreck your life and put it back together for you. Amen? He's a fanatic. He'll come in and change everything. He'll change a bad report to a good report. He'll come in and take something they say is over and make it start all over again. Hallelujah. He'll give you a miracle right in the midst of the storm. If we'll believe him.